The music schedule at the festival this year features several Michigan acts this year. They include the swing dance music of Paulette Brockington, who Laura referred to just a minute ago. She's from Highland Park. Also the Cuban Caribbean music of Tumbao Bravo out of Ann Arbor. And a longtime local favorite, who you're hearing plucking away in the background there, takes the stage at 7 p.m. this evening, and it's a pleasure to welcome Joel Mabus to Current State to catch up with him about his music. Hi, Joel.
How you doing?
Thanks for joining us. After many years in the Lansing area, you've moved to Portage.
So, yeah, that's down by Kalamazoo.
So welcome back to East Lansing.
Well, good to be back here.
That right over there, that's Beggar's Banquet.
Now, that's okay, right, one of the few places Beggars, that's still here from when I was
Beggars
here.
Banquet.
I moved away 17 years ago, and that was here when I was in an undergrad.
So something tells me
else much is still the same, but there's still Beggars Banquet.
Something tells me no matter how long you're gone, everybody's always going to remember where Beggar's Banquet is.
Now, Cave of the Candles, that's gone.
Okay, that's gone. A lot of fond memories from Cave of the Candles, though.
Yeah.
You grew up in southern Illinois.
That's right.
Your website biography points out the proximity of your first home to notables like Mark Twain and Scott Joplin. Tell us about your early days as the son of musicians and how you got drawn to folk music.
Well, I was born into it. My father was a champion fiddler. Back in the Depression, they made his living playing the fiddle with his twin brother who played the banjo and the mandolin. And my mother was a banjo player, accordion player, a piano player. And I came along. They weren't doing that professionally anymore. I was born in 1953. They were doing domestic things, getting the family together. But when I was 9 years old, the school told me, you can be in the school band if your folks buy you a trombone. My mom said, we can't afford a trombone. We have a perfectly good mandolin under the bed, though. So that's how I got started.
Well, you became a multi-instrumentalist, which is really impressive. Mandolin, but guitar, you're playing banjo here for us tonight, and fiddle. Can you explain playing more than one instrument?
Well, that all comes with learning it when you're a kid. And I played the mandolin, taught myself with a few pointers from my family. And when my brother decided he wanted to play the banjo, he showed me some chords on the guitar. So I was a guitar player all of a sudden. And when he wasn't around, I'd play his banjo. And when nobody else was around, I'd play my dad's fiddle. It's tuned like a mandolin. And I played bluegrass for years, real bluegrass. And there, everybody knows how to play at least three or four instruments. That's just part of the deal.
Does I imagine playing one instrument and having it down basically well, does that make it easier to learn the others?
Well, I think playing banjo and guitar, for example, is something like learning Spanish and Portuguese. I mean, if you learn one, the other one comes pretty good. And that's all the fretted instruments have a certain similarity, and the fiddle has a similarity to the mandolin and the banjo, so it's all in the family.
Which one are you most adept at?
I'm mostly known as a guitar player, and I think that's the most the instrument I can play more genres in and more styles, anything from a blues to swing to bluegrass to old time to folk music. The banjo comes with its own with its own repertoire sort of built in. There's stylish limitations as to the rhythm and the styles you can play. Not to say you can't dedicate your life to it. And I've been playing the banjo for 50 years, so I think I know how to do it.
Now, when you work on an original song, how do you choose which instrument to use to create that?
It chooses me. I don't choose it. I've been writing songs for most of my life, and that question is usually what comes first, the words or the music. And
that was my next question.
The answer is yes. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's the other. And excuse me if I seem like I'm shouting, but we do have a polka band blaring at us here.
We have, yeah.
So it feels like I have to shout. But when sometimes the thing that comes in the song first is what I'm going to write about. And then I get to choose the the musical dynamic I want to put behind it, whether it's going to be a quick tune, a slow tune, a minor key, major key, languid, fast, whatever. But sometimes the musical idea comes first, and I work on the music, and the tune presents itself, and then I put the words to it afterwards. Sometimes it's an instrumental, sometimes it's an a cappella song, so who knows?
Well, you have graciously agreed to play a song here for us. Now, we've got a little bit of competition here along the way, but I'm thinking, for you. I think we are miking you closely enough that we'll still be able to enjoy this here. So yeah. tell us about what you're going to play.
Well, I think I will do a great old fiddle and banjo tune called Barlow Knife. A Barlow Knife is one of the cheapest knives you can buy at a dime store, and it's the name of a great old tune. It goes like this.
Barlow Knife.
Digging the banjo all my life. I ain't got nothing but a Barlow Knife.
You make it look easy. Now, that sounds like a very traditional song. That's been around for centuries.
It's been around for at least a century and a half, and nobody knows where it actually came from. It's from the South, and it's played in a bunch of different keys, so that tells you it's been around the block a long time. There's not just one way it's supposed to go. A lot of versions of it.
How many songs like that do you know? How many traditional folk songs have you learned over the years?
Well, it would be in the hundreds, but I've never sat down to count them. I mean, at this point in my life, I've forgotten the titles of half the things. I have to make them up sometime.
We're talking with performer Joel Mabus, who takes the stage here at 7 o'clock tonight at the East Lansing Folk Festival in East Lansing. You're listening to WKAR's Current State. You've played with a list of great musicians over the years. They include Joan Baez, Steve Goodman, Garrison Keillor. Mm-hmm. Are there any of those collaborations you're especially proud of or are especially memorable?
Well, with Garrison Keillor, and we're on the radio here, your folks have heard old Garrison. Played on his show 35 years ago, and then again a year and a half ago down at the Fox Theater down in Detroit. Came on and I sang a couple of my own original songs, played guitar. But it was interesting to watch the technology improve from the old days when it was a chalkboard over at the old World Theater, which is now called the Fitzgerald in Minneapolis. And now they have three semi-trucks full of tech. There's 25 people with laptop computers typing away all the time. Three or four huge Xerox machines pumping out the script for everybody. So it's pretty interesting to see how things change.
Speaking of those changes, I have to ask you, how do you market your music in 2013? How do you get your music in front of people who might want to buy it?
You know, it's a good question. If I was a much younger person, I'd be hitting all the social media 24/7. And I don't now. I'm an old geezer, and people come to me at this point most of the time. But yeah, I've got a website, joelmabus.com. Have had that up for 20 years now. And a whole bunch of things you do. You just kind of swim with the flow, how can I say.
Okay. Joel Mabus, it's been fantastic to have you here with us tonight. Joel Mabus takes the stage tonight at 7 o'clock at the East Lansing Folk Festival. Best of luck to you. Good to see you.
Thank you.